Well, I'm gonna get into this word. I am excited to preach today. Yes. I feel like the Lord has given me a word. I believe it was a couple of weeks ago, we started a new series called Better. Everyone say better. Better. Say it like you mean it, say better. Better. And Pastor Dean did a phenomenal job explaining and teaching and showing in scriptures, primarily in the book of Daniel, how God showed that Daniel was 10 times better, right? And it was, I believe Daniel was 10 times better because there was a few things that he did very well, which I want to talk about. And one of those things that Daniel did very well is he knew how to follow God. I believe if we're going to have a life that's 10 times better, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, we have to be better followers. Everyone say better followers. And not only do we need to be better followers, to be a good follower, to be a better follower, we have to be better listeners. We have to know how to recognize the voice of God. Amen? The voices that speak into your life usually is the determination of where your life would end up. We are the sum total of what the choices we make, but also the voices we allow to speak in our life, which influence those choices. So if we have not been able to recognize God's voice and we don't know how to follow God, not in just convenience, right, but follow God also in controversy, then we won't have the better that God wants us to have. See, Daniel didn't just follow God when things were going good. He followed God to the point of being thrown in the lion's den because he didn't compromise. Amen? Here it is. Following God is not a trend. It's about our convictions. Christianity, it seems to me, is becoming more of a trend, and people are pursuing God more for what he can do for you as opposed to what he is to you. Amen. I don't serve God because what he can do for me. Maybe at one point I did, and from him showing me what he can do for me, I'll also learn what who he is to me. Amen. And we see that Daniel had a better life because he had a set apart life. He had a devoted life. He had a life where he didn't allow the external circumstances to dictate what he was going to do. He allowed his relationship with the Lord, which produced conviction, values to begin to lead his life. Amen? What if I told you following God is not always about a huge confirmation, a loud sound, or some type of big sign to let you know this is what God is telling you to do? Following God is much more about listening to the small, still voice and the convictions that he's placed in your life. We see in the book of Kings where Elijah was looking to seek God and see where he was at and wanted God to speak to him. And the Bible says that God was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. He was not in earth, wind, and fire. He was in the small, still voice, which can only come for relationships. Everyone say relationships. Now, when I think about relationships, I think about the relationships that I have with my children. For those who don't know, I have 3 kids. I have DJ, he's 17. I know I don't look like I have a 17-year-old. I have Zoe, who's 4 years old, and I have the new addition to the team, Dominic. Now, Dominic, I have to teach him the values and the convictions and the culture of the Giacchino home because he's the newest addition to the family. Zoe, who's 4 years old, I don't have to teach her the values and convictions. I just have to reiterate them to her because she is older than Dominic, but not as old as DJ. Amen? DJ, I don't even have to tell him the convictions, the values, and the culture of our home. All I have to do is give him a certain look, and he already knows what Dad wants, amen? As a matter of fact, I don't need to remind him. When I come home, he knows I want the house clean. He knows I want his chores done. He knows I want certain things in place. Why? Because I spent more time with him, and now he knows his father's needs, he knows what his father wants. So when we get to a place where we need a sign to follow God, to me, that shows you that you're a little bit immature in the things of God. Are you a Dominic age in Christianity? Are you a Zoe's age in Christianity? Or are you going to be a DJ's age in Christianity? And I said it before, spiritual maturity is not based on how old you are. Spiritual maturity is based on how well you surrender and obey the voice of God. Will you obey him in the lion's den? Will you obey him when he tells you to offer up an Isaac? Will you obey him when he tells you to build a boat when nobody ever saw rain or even knew what a boat was? Will you obey him in the wilderness? Will you obey him when a whole nation is at the verge of being extinct and your stance to that nation or standing up can compromise your life? And I'm speaking of different biblical characters who followed God, but they did not follow God when things were easy. Oh, I almost got knocked out by the Holy Spirit. No, I'm just playing. So I believe to be better followers, we have to be better listeners. And today I want to talk about how to become better followers and help us to identify how to be better listeners. Following God is one of the most spiritual and supernatural things you can do because there is a life that he already created for you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 10:23, it is not in the way of man to know his own steps. It is not in the way of man to be guided in his own. We need to be guided. We need to follow the voice and the will of God for our life, and then we'll be able to see all the things that God has in our life. I want to bring us to this scripture, John 10, 4 through 5. It says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Everyone say, follow him. How many of you guys remember Simon Says? Right? Simon says, take two steps forward. Simon says, take two steps backward. Simon says, take 10 steps. How many know you can get right up to the front, but if you touch Simon and Simon didn't tell you to walk, then you got to start all the way at the beginning. Thank God, God is not like that. But John 10, 4 through 5 says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Everyone say, I know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The reason why sometimes it's hard to follow God is because we have not identified the stranger's voice yet. There is a voice that comes from the Father, and there's a voice that comes from the world, the flesh, and Satan. We have three enemies, if you don't know that. We have the world that opposes the things of God. We have the flesh that is in contrary to the things of God. And we have Satan who hates God. And if we're not in tune to know that Satan uses the world, he uses the flesh, he uses all kinds of mediums to push his agenda so you can get out of God's agenda. And I think there's a few things that makes us very susceptible to following the wrong voices in our life. And those few things are when we face distraction, disappointment, discouragement, and delayed promises. I'm gonna say that again. Oftentimes we stop following God because we got distracted. And how many knows distraction never shows up like, hey, I'm a distraction, don't follow me. Distraction disguises itself as something good. The same way that Adam and Eve were tempted by something that was good, but it wasn't God, amen? So distractions often have a form of godliness, but it's not God. It's denying the power of God. It shows in the form of good, but not what is God. So if we are not in tune with the things of God, we'll follow something that was good, but not was ordained for us to walk in that God wanted us to have. When we're distracted, when we're disappointed, when we're discouraged, or when there's delayed promises. One of the greatest delayed promises that I finally walked into, as some of you have heard, is the promise that God told me that I was gonna be in full-time ministry. God promised me that I was gonna be in full-time ministry 11 years ago. I didn't step into a full-time ministry, meaning where this was my full-time job, till last year. That doesn't mean I don't stop following God. That doesn't mean that God is not a, that he's a man that he will lie. God is not a man, nor is he gonna lie. If he said he's gonna do it, he will do it. It's just, there is a process. Here it is. In me following God, check this out. I feel the Holy Spirit on this one. In me following God, I'm unbecoming what I used to be and becoming what I'm supposed to be. Oh, Jesus. I fell heaven on that one. In that 10 years, I was unbecoming something. I was unbecoming the things that God didn't want me to have when I became who I am now. We follow God because it's a part of our evolution. We're becoming something. Too many times we follow God and we're focused on the destination and we miss sight of the values, the convictions, the relationships that he wants to bring in the journey to the destination. So when you have those values, when you have those convictions, when you have those relationships, you can sustain at the destination. God is not into giving you something that you do not know how to keep. So there is a process of time that takes place. Everyone say the process. If you abort the process, you stop the purpose. And this is tough because following God, or I'm gonna say this, it's easy to follow God when things are going good. The hardest time to follow God is in our hurts and pains. It's hard to follow God when we've been betrayed and God is telling us to forgive and show acts of kindness and love to somebody who hurt us. It's hard to follow God when things didn't go our way. It's hard to follow God when people are mistreating us and God is telling us to walk in his fruits. See, that's when it really counts to follow God, because that's when God is building up your character. That's where God is developing the divine nature inside of you. Here it is. If you want the divine promises of God, they are attracted to the divine nature of God. So God has to develop his divine nature into you so that you can walk in the promises that he has for you in Jesus' name. Now, similarly, there we go. In a way where physical pain dries up blood or reduces blood and causes high blood pressure, same thing happens with emotional pain, but it doesn't dry up blood. When we are in emotional pain, when we have different pains in our life and we don't seek God in the pain, what happens is our emotional and spiritual intellect begins to dry up, because here it is, if we don't seek God in the hurts, we'll rearrange his truth towards us. Oh, y'all didn't hear me on that one. When you don't seek God in the pain to hear what his voice is telling you to do in the pain, that pain will cause you to rearrange who God really is to you. You'll put him on a level of humanity when he's on the level of divinity. You'll put him on a level of things that God is like, that is not who I am. You'll place, here it is, you'll place things that belong to Satan on God. You'll think God took things, you think God caused things, and if you think God caused the sickness, and if you think God caused the harm, then you won't resist him because you think God gave it to you. But when you know God is a good God, and you know that God came to give you life and more abundantly, you'll resist the sickness, you'll resist the pain, because you know he has a better life for you in Jesus' name. Oh, if you want better, here it is. To have better is not complicated, it's just costly. The kingdom of God is not complicated, it's just costly. You can't harvest a fruitful or abundant life unless you're willing to live a sacrificial life. You cannot harvest a fruitful or abundant life unless you're willing to follow God and live a continuous lifestyle of a sacrificial life. Amen? Check this scripture out. It talks about in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, it says, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Just straight out, don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life, to God, is vigorous and it requires total attention. Another translation says, the way to hell is broad, the way to heaven is narrow. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of following God no matter what it costs me, amen? And the Bible says, whoever gives up a house, mother, brother, sister, or whatever you give up for his sake in the gospel, it will come back 100 times in this life and in eternal life, amen? It's just, we have to pay the cost for it, and the cost to following God is real simple. You ready for it? It's death to yourself. To follow God means you have to die to selfishness and live selflessly. What got Adam and Eve out the garden? All right, let me just say this. Every sin, in my opinion, can be traced back to fear and selfishness. Every sin in our life can be traced back to fear and selfishness. You know why people lie? They lie for two reasons: to avoid the consequences of telling the truth, or to try to gain something they don't deserve, which is selfish, right? And we hide out of fear, and where fear is present, faith is not present, amen? And you can't be in fear and in faith. You can have fear, but you still choose faith, amen? But when we walk in faith and we're motivated by love, we are the followers that God wants us to become, amen? Now, when it comes to following God, everyone say, follow God. You have to be aware that there will be well-meaning people who think they have your best interests, but they're not mindful of certain things. I want to show you something in the Bible. Mark 8:33, I want to set it up. Jesus is talking about his death and resurrection, right? And he's speaking to his disciples, and he's talking about that he's going to die, he's going to resurrect. And look what Peter says to him. Mark 8:33, but when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of things of God, but the things of the man. Let me tell you what Peter said. Peter rebuked, or he tried to challenge Jesus to not do what God told him to do. And God, or Jesus said, you are more mindful of what man wants, but not what God wants. Now, how many knows Peter had really good intentions? Peter loved God, and he didn't want to see God in pain. But the greatest example of a follower we see with Jesus. Jesus followed God even to the point of death. In fact, he left the greatest place on earth, or the greatest place in the planet, or the galaxy, heaven. He left heaven, left his reputation, stripped himself of who he was, came in a suit of a human being, and died and was obedient to the point of death so that he can show us how to walk out a lifestyle following God. I'm sorry, but following God is not easy. But following God is the most rewarding life that you will ever have. It was easy living in sin. There were no freedom rules to guide me. The thing about sin, there is no rules. You just do whatever you feel like doing, which is easy. Freedom comes with responsibility. Manifesting the promises and miracles of God comes with responsibility. Oh, Jesus, here it is. You cannot see the manifestations of the promises or the miracles of God unless you're willing to go through a metamorphosis with God. Change is scary, but so is living in an expired season. Oh, y'all didn't like that one. Change is scary, but so is living in an expired relationship, living in an expired job, having an expired life. That is much more scarier. Here it is. I don't want to live in regret, right? I want to make sure that when I go before God and I see him, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. We need to produce followers who are following God to hear that and don't care off the applause of man. Because if the applause of man doesn't make you, then the disapproval of man won't break you. Mark 8:34-35 says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny myself. That means whatever my mind, my will, my emotions that are contrary to God's will, his way of doing things, I now align it with the word, and whatever I'm feeling, thinking, or choosing that is contrary to the word, then I choose the word over it. Amen? I choose the word over it. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Again, we are not called to convenience. We are called to conviction. We are called to conviction. Tell your neighbor, we're called to conviction. Now, one of the attributes that I see in Abraham, and I see in Jesus, and I see in Noah, I see in Moses, and I see in Daniel, they spent time with God. To be a good follower, you have to be a good abider. I'm gonna say that again. To be a good follower, you have to be a good abider. Abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you cannot do anything. When you don't abide with God, what happens is you'll connect yourself to false vines that produce false fruit. You'll connect to things that appear to give you life, but does not give you life. Jesus actually walked by a fig tree from a distance. It looked like it had fruit. Then he came upon it and realized that it didn't have no fruit, and he cursed it, right? Here it is. When you don't follow God the way you're supposed to from a distance, it may look like you got fruit in your life. It may look like you got it going on because you got the job, you got the car, you got the house, but you still don't got the peace. You still don't got the joy. You still don't have the life that God wants you to have, because following God means you connect to his vine so he can produce his fruit. But not just fruit for a season, fruit that will remain. I'm never impressed with people who can get married. I'm impressed with people who can stay married. I'm never impressed with people who can start off parenting. I'm impressed with people who don't kill their kids after parenting for a long time. I'm impressed with my mom who didn't kill me. Gosh, I look back on my life and I was like, I was such a bad teenager. But she kept abiding. Oh, I feel heaven on this one for a parent. She kept abiding and God kept reminding her who I was to become and not who I was at that moment. Oh, can I prophesy that over a parent right now? Can I prophesy over you that if you abide in the presence of God, God will show you who your child is and not how they are acting. We need to abide so we can get the coordinates to follow. If we don't abide, we don't have the coordinates to follow. If we don't abide, we won't know where he's leading us. And well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they were very sad, you see. The Pharisees and all of those religious leaders, they asked Jesus for a sign. And Jesus says an adulterous generation asked for a sign, a sinful generation, because the sign was that Jesus was present and they couldn't recognize that Jesus was in the world. Jesus is present and he lives inside of you. Stop looking for a sign and start looking within, because the kingdom of God is not without. Behold, it's within you. And when you read that word, when you spend time in that presence, God will begin to lead you from the inside out, not the outside in. You got to understand, in Old Testament, Jesus lived without outside of us, right? Because sin hadn't been paid for and we were not temples which he can abide himself into. But when Christ died, the veil was ripped. The blood of Jesus cleansed us. Now he can live inside of us to where we can always get our answers. We can go through the throne room of mercy and grace to receive mercy and grace in a time of need. Hallelujah. Following God is a lifestyle, not a trend. It's a lifestyle, not a trend. I remember when I first got out of prison, I was living in Fairfield in the Vallejo area, the Bay Area. Inside joke. I'll bring you guys on the inside joke. By raise of hand, how many of you guys believe Vallejo is the Bay Area? Raise your hand. Thank you. I'm going on a tangent, but me and Pastor Jesse and a few others, they try to say Vallejo is not the Bay Area. Vallejo is the Bay. I'm sorry. What was I talking about now? I went on a tangent. Dang. The Holy Spirit told me don't go there. Out of prison. For like a year straight, I went on so many interviews. I kept getting rejected. I would get to the point where I would always get to the last interview and then they'll look at my record and they just said, it just can't happen. And I was very crushed because I had a son, right? I was a young father and I needed to make money. But God told me, I lived in Fairfield, Vallejo, back and forth between my place and stayed at my mom sometimes. I was, you know, mama's boy till I got married. Now I'm a Stacy's boy. And God introduced me to a church in Sacramento. I had no gas. I had no way to get back and forth. But he was like, I want you to drive back and forth. That was like, sometimes it would take me 90 minutes to get out there. I would drive out there on Sunday. I would drive out there for midweek. And I did that for the course of like 3 years. And it was a struggle to get out there for the whole 3 years. I thought because God told me to get out there, he was gonna give me like a plus job to make it happen. He didn't give me the plus job, but he got me out of the bondage. He allowed me to get to the place of not enough, but he was developing character. And he was closing one door of me looking in this area so that he could show me another door. And although it took 3 years to just keep making it work and finding ways, eventually God introduced me to relationships where things started to open up for me. But it was like a 3-year period where I had to follow God. I felt like I was in the wilderness, but here it is. I'm here to tell you, Real Life Church, and I want to prophesy over you, the wilderness is never meant to defeat you. It's only meant to develop you. You are not supposed to be defeated in the wilderness. You are supposed to be developed in the wilderness. Even Jesus was led to the wilderness. I believe there's a few reasons why. For one, to demonstrate his humanity, right? To show us that he was human. It showed us how to fight spiritual warfare by standing on the word and speaking the word. So I believe in that wilderness, God is developing who he is to us so we can trust him. I'm gonna go as far as to say it was in that 3 years that I developed some of the sermons that you might've heard me preach already before. It was in that 3 years I developed convictions and values, and I learned how to trust God, and I developed resilience to where I can go the distance when I finally get to this place. But if you think following God comes easy sometimes, no. Jesus said it, to follow me, you gotta lose your life, take up your cross and follow me. You have to die to your will, die to your way, die to your mindset, because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And you can't comprehend what God is always trying to do. So instead of trying to lower God to your comprehension, faith your way till he gives you the understanding of what you're trying to comprehend. Sometimes we're just not going to understand, and the understanding comes at the end of our obedience. They said to Jesus, how do we know it's your will? He said, you know it's my will once you do it. Because supernatural understanding doesn't come before obedience. Supernatural understanding comes after obedience. So you're trying to understand something that you have not yet obeyed. When you start obeying, you will start understanding. Now, when it comes to following God, we have to be very aware that according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 5, it says, for the time is coming where people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instructions, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, right? I get this all the time as a counselor and working with young adults. They'll tell me something about their boyfriend or their girlfriend, and I'll give them instructions, and they don't want to do it. So they try to find somebody else who will appeal to their flesh, because what I encourage them to do means they got to die to themselves and trust God. So here it is. They're praying to the Lord of the harvest and asking God to show up in their life, but they're not willing to make a sacrifice in that area. Sometimes God is creating on-ramps to your purpose and destiny through inconvenience. Oh, you didn't hear me on that. Sometimes the on-ramps to God revealing your purpose and destiny comes in inconvenient instructions. The ridiculous is tied to the miraculous. There was somebody in the Bible who had leprosy, and it was a man of God that said, go dip yourself in this dirty pool 7 times. That inconvenient instructions brought him healing. But you're waiting for some convenience. You're waiting for something to fit what you think it should fit. But God is gonna inconvenience you sometimes. Now, I wanna say this. The callings of God is irrevocable, but the opportunities to come to follow that call can go away. The callings of God is irrevocable, but the opportunities to walk in that calling does change. There's onboarding ramps that God provides for us to walk in our destiny. And when we don't recognize his voice as an on-ramp, then what happens is we avoid the inconvenient instructions and we stay in a pattern of defeat. I call it the defeat cycle. You keep repeating the same thing over and over. Yeah, you change cities, you change churches, you change husbands, but you keep having the same results because you didn't change you, because you're always waiting on something convenient for you to do what God wants you to do. I hope y'all not mad at me. We will gather to themselves one teacher after another. Oh, I didn't like what Pastor Dean said. Let me go see what Pastor Jesse gonna say. Oh, dang, they say the same thing. I don't like what Pastor Jesse said. Let me see what Pastor Damien gonna say. I don't like what the staff said. Let me go find somebody who's not qualified to speak in my life. Ooh, I do like what they said. So you letting unqualified people speak into your life? Versus qualified people who God set. The issue is we follow popularity over spiritual authority. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. We follow the it person versus the set person. Yeah, there are it influential, popular people, and I'm not against that, but there are also people who God has established in your life to be the spiritual authority, not to dictate, not to tell you, but to guide you to where God wants you to go. So the world has glamorized rebellion and demonized submission. We have made submission look like it's a bad thing when submission brings provision, it brings protection, and it releases the promises and purpose of God in your life. Jesus submitted to the point of death, all of humanity got blessed. Adam and Eve rebelled, all of humanity got cursed. So the principle of Satan is to get you out of submission and into rebellion so you don't walk in your blessed life. Oh, gosh. The Psalm said the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Is your life dry? Your relationship's not working out? Life not working out? You keep having the same issues? Could it be you're living in a dry land and rivers of living water? God is trying to bring something to you, but you have not recognize nor took the viewpoint of God when it comes to biblical submission. Submission is not about you being controlled. Submission is not about somebody telling you what to do. Submission is about having a good attitude towards the voices God has placed in your life. Can God guide you through people? God works through people. The kingdom of God is advanced through people, and he's released gifts to work in our lives so that when we submit to those gifts, God blesses our lives. Amen? It says right here, they will gather themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly the hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. In other words, hardship will come. There are teachers that are not speaking what thus says the Lord. They're speaking things to get you to gather to yourself. I always tell people, I'm not against motivational speakers, but when I go into secular arenas, I'm like, I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a preacher. Right? Motivation to get you stirred. Preachers release joy. Joy gives you strength. Motivation gets you stirred. I need strength. Amen. I need motivation too, but let me get some strength first and then motivate me. Five primary ways the Lord speaks to us. If we can put it on the screen, please. God speaks to us through his word. You're asking God to speak to you. How often do you read the word of God? It's really that simple. How often do you receive manna? Manna every day. You can't take the manna of yesterday and try to eat it today because it won't work. What God is asking you to do yesterday is different. In fact, you need the word of God because God is in our tomorrow today, telling us to do things today so that we can have a better tomorrow. The word of God, the Holy Spirit begins to put impressions on our mind, our will, and our emotion. There's so many times God spoke to me, not in an audible voice, but through a thought, through a feeling, through an impression, because the Bible talks about you can grieve the Spirit, which means the Spirit of God has an emotions. It talks about praying according to the mind of God, which means the Spirit of God can think. And it talks about the will of God, meaning that the Spirit of God has a mind, a will, and an emotion. That sounds like a divine spirit to me. And when that divine spirit rests on your spirit because you read the word of God, he'll start releasing his mind, his will, his emotion for your life, and you'll have divine comprehension. I think it's Proverbs 16 where it says, roll your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established, amen? And your plans will succeed. We gotta roll our works to the word of God. We gotta spend time with the word of God. We gotta love the word of God. We gotta read it no matter when we don't wanna read it, because it's the word, it's the bread. It's what God uses to penetrate the kingdom of darkness. You can have all the spiritual armor you want. You can have the breastplate of righteousness. You can have the helmet of salvation. You can have the socks for the preparation of the gospel. But if you don't have the word, you have no offensive attack against the enemy. It's the word, it's the promises, it's the declarations that allows the kingdom of darkness to get out of my life and me to walk in the kingdom of God for my life. Pastors and leaders. God gives us pastors and leaders. He also gives us other people, spouses, family members, parents. One of the greatest, I don't want to say regret, but one of the greatest things, not greatest, but one of the most reflective things that I often reflect on is how accurate my parents were when I was growing up. How many teenagers? We got kids in here. One of the attacks that the enemy will try to do with parents, or you and your parents, is to show you all their weaknesses. Because if you can see their flaws, if you can see their weaknesses, then it will make you feel like you're qualified to not have to listen to your parents. It'll make you like, well, they don't do what they're asking me to do. But the first principle that God is teaching us with parents is honor. Honor means I allow what you say to carry weight in my life. And whether they are living the life that they are telling me to live or not, I will still walk in a blessing when I honor them. Amen? All the different things that my parents taught me, I didn't listen. And I paid the cost for it. And I love them so much. I'm like, man, you guys were right. Clap it up for parents in the house. If you're a parent in here, you have some kids that are being a challenge, just raise your hand real quick. Raise your hand. This is a safe place. Oh, gosh. Sometimes kids just need a good butt whooping too. Sometimes some of those grown 16-year-old boys need to, no. Lift your hands up again, parents. Go ahead, lift it up. Father, I pray supernatural wisdom over these parents. Give them supernatural boundaries. Parents, I need you to hear me on this. God, show them where they are trying to be you, and I pray that you would give them the understanding to release their kids to you because you love them more than they can love them. God, I pray that you would intervene in their teenager's life, intervene into the younger kid's life. Whatever the age of the kids are, Father, I thank you for moving in the parents and the children's life right now in Jesus' name, amen. Can I get some keys, Brennan? I didn't realize it was 10:35. Times go by fast when you like preaching. I wanna conclude, and God uses circumstances. There's so much more. I wanted to talk about how to identify the Lord's voice. I wanted to cover some other things. So if you want to get that, you just got to come to the 11 o'clock service. But James 1:25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Not a forgetful hearer. My question to you, are you a passive listener or aggressive listener? When God is speaking, are you acting? Are you compartmentalizing, saying, I'll follow that later? There is no such thing of seasonal followers. There's either a lifestyle or a follower or not. Here it is. The Bible says, lukewarm, I spew you out. God speaks at the temperature of hot, not lukewarm. This is why we got to abide, so we don't allow the lukewarmness to kick in. And then we pick and choose which part of the word we want to use. And I'm closing. Hebrews 3, 7 through 13 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. Instead, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. It's dangerous to hear about the promises of God without having a relationship with the God of those promises. Because you'll start conjuring up your own ways how to get to the promise. The children of Israel knew the promises of God, but Moses knew the mind and the ways of God. We have the same access to these men that did, or women that did great things as we see these pictures in the Bible. But yet we have a greater access and greater works we should be doing. But it requires greater followers. The kingdom, it works different from the world. The kingdom says you have to follow before you can lead. The kingdom says you have to give before you can receive. It says you have to die to live. It says you have to serve to be great. The world opposes those things. Following God requires a sacrifice. I want to close on this thought. There's a person in the Bible. He's been identified, as some of us may know, as the rich ruler. The rich ruler came to Jesus and he tried to flatter Jesus a little bit too. He was like, good teacher, looking good today. I like that shirt you got on, Jesus. Those sandals are really nice. Your toes look real manicured. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus was like, don't call me good. Don't try to flatter me. And it wasn't that we couldn't call him good. Jesus knew the spirit behind what he was trying to do. And he says, you know, don't kill, don't do this, don't do that. And the rich ruler said, oh, I do all of those things. Yeah, I got that. And Jesus said, it is one thing that you do not do. Go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and what? Follow me. When it comes to following Jesus, we will have those rich ruler moments. Whether it's a relationship, we got a place at the altar. Whether it's a job, we got to trust God in. Whether it's an offense that we have to forgive and trust. There's things in our life where if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to be at that point where you have your checklist because you have principles, but to follow God, you need presence. Principles is not enough. They are good. Principles will get us to find presence, but then there's going to be a point where God is going to say, I need you to let go of all of that and just follow me. The rich ruler didn't know that Jesus owned everything. That if he would have gave up all that, he would have got much more in return. I believe there's things locked up in heaven that God wants to release. But we have not sowed the seed of ourselves. We have not sowed the seed of time, energy, talent, whatever it is. God wouldn't say you can be fruitful unless you were seedful. We are seeds. And we deposit them into the kingdom of God, and God will cause things to grow in our life.